Hey everyone, and welcome to another deep dive. This time we're going to be looking at Chilean wine.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this one. We've got some great data here spanning a couple of decades. We've got stuff from 1990, we've got 2000, and then 2010 as well. So,
Yeah.
should give us a really good overview of what.
Yeah, a good span of time to look at some trends.
Exactly. So, I guess the first thing that we should probably address is, is Chile a good place to grow grapes? Like, is that even a thing?
Right.
Does it even work?
Well, looking at this data, it seems like it does. There's not a lot of explicit mention of like total area of vineyards or anything like that, but there's a lot of different types of grapes that they're growing. So that suggests that they are suitable for grape growing, and they're doing it on a pretty large scale.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, if you think about it geographically, Chile's got that long coastline, Andes Mountains. So you've got like all these different microclimates. I imagine that probably helps.
Right, you'd think so.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got the place. We've determined that, yeah, they can grow grapes there. What kind of grapes are we talking about here?
Well, let's see. So we've got this UAP Wine Grapes ebook here, and it's got this great table, all these different varieties that they cultivate in Chile.
Okay, so like if we were to make a Chilean wine starter pack, what are the essentials?
Okay, so for the reds, definitely Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot.
Okay, the classics.
Yeah, those are real popular there.
No surprise. All right, so we got our reds. What about for white wines?
For the whites, probably Sauvignon Blanc and Chardonnay.
Nice. So we've got Sauvignon Blanc, Chardonnay, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Merlot. That's a good little starter pack right there.
Yeah.
But I'm also always curious about the more like unique grapes,
Yeah.
the less common ones. Does Chile have any of those?
Oh yeah, for sure. One that comes to mind is Pei.
Pei, yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've heard of that one.
Yeah, it's got a really long history, actually. It originated in Spain.
And then it came over to the Americas a long time ago. It's known by some other names too, depending on where you are.
Oh, really?
Like in California, they call it Mission, and in Peru, it's Rosa del Peru.
That's so interesting. Like the same grape, but different names.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got the grapes. What about like the global picture? So this data talks about 2000 and 2010. What were Chilean wines doing back then?
Yeah, so looking at these rankings, looks like those Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlots were holding their own, but one thing that really stood out was their Sauvignon Blanc.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was really climbing up the ranks during that time,
Okay.
doing really well.
That's cool. So compared to other wine regions, is Chile following trends or are they like forging their own path?
I think they're doing their own thing. It seems like they've found some grapes that work really well for them, and they're
Yeah.
really focusing on making those great. You know, not necessarily trying to grow every single grape out there.
Yeah, kind of like picking their battles.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
Okay. So we've got the grapes, we've got the rankings, but what about the history? How did Chilean wine even become a thing?
Well, that's a long story. But to really understand it, I think we have to go back to the very beginning, and that's with the Vitis vinifera species.
Oh, yeah, the grape species responsible for like most wines, right?
Exactly. And that species was introduced to Chile from Europe.
Okay.
And that was really a pivotal moment.
Like the starter grapes.
Yeah, you could say that.
Cool. So were the Europeans just like, hey, let's plant some grapes here and see what happens?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. We know that the Spanish settlers had a big role in those early vineyards.
Oh, right back in the 16th century.
Yeah,
Wow,
exactly.
even before those French-American hybrids that became popular.
Exactly. So they weren't necessarily focused on making world-class wines right away. It was more about practicality, like producing wine for religious purposes.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, so it was more for sacramental use.
Okay, so not exactly the fine wines we think of today.
Right, but those early vineyards, they really laid the foundation for the industry we see now.
Wow, so the desire for sacramental wine basically kicked off Chilean winemaking.
In a way, yeah.
That's crazy to think about. But I'm guessing those early wines weren't exactly winning any awards.
Probably not. Winemaking techniques were still developing back then.
Makes sense. So, when did Chilean wines start to get more sophisticated?
Well, the 19th century was a big turning point. That's when we see a lot of French influence coming in.
Oh, yeah, France with the wine masters.
Exactly. They brought over more advanced practices and a deeper understanding of which grapes would grow best where.
Okay, so like a Chilean wine makeover, French edition.
Pretty much.
That's when those classic Vitis vinifera varieties really took hold, right?
Yeah, exactly. Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Sauvignon Blanc, they all started to become really important during that time.
Okay, so what about those French-American hybrids? The ones that were popular before.
They were still around, but they slowly started to become less common.
like a changing of the
Yeah,
guard.
exactly.
All right, so things are looking up for Chilean wine.
Right.
But then, didn't that phylloxera epidemic hit in the late 19th century?
Oh, yeah, that was a major challenge.
That tiny little aphid that wreaked havoc on vineyards everywhere.
Yeah, it was devastating. Chile was not immune.
So how did they deal with that?
Well, they ended up using the same solution that worked in Europe, grafting Vitis vinifera vines onto phylloxera-resistant rootstock.
Oh, right, like giving the vines a little suit of armor.
Exactly.
So that saved the day.
It did. Wow, what a story.
Yeah, and you know, that crisis actually had a silver lining.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it made Chilean winemakers rethink their practices and really focus on long-term sustainability.
Okay, so like a forced reset that made them stronger.
Exactly.
So even through challenges, Chilean winemaking just kept adapting and evolving.
That's right.
Wow, this is fascinating. But I think we should probably take a break here and come back for part two to really dig into those geographical features that make Chilean wine so special.
Thanks, good.
All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back. So last time we were talking about those early Chilean vineyards and how they had to deal with that phylloxera crisis.
Yeah, it's amazing how they were able to bounce back from that. But I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about geography. Like, how does Chile's unique location impact its wine?
Ah, yes, the terroir. It's a crucial part of the story.
Right, because when you think of Chile, you picture those incredible Andes Mountains and the vast Pacific coastline.
Exactly. And those features play a huge role in shaping the wines.
Okay, so break it down for me.
Well, first, you've got the Andes to the east. They act like a giant wall, protecting the vineyards from too much rain.
Okay, what, like a natural shield.
Exactly. And then on the west, you have the Pacific Ocean, which helps to regulate temperatures and provides those cooling breezes.
So it's like the perfect balance of elements.
It really is.
And I imagine that creates some pretty diverse microclimates.
Oh, absolutely. Each region has its own unique set of characteristics.
Okay, so let's talk about some of those regions.
All right. Well, one of the most famous is the Aconcagua Valley. It's just north of Santiago. And it's got this amazing terroir because it's so close to both the mountains and the ocean.
Aconcagua. I've definitely seen that on wine labels.
Yep. It's known for producing some really great wines.
What kind of wines do they specialize in?
They're really well suited for red varieties, especially Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot.
Okay, so that explains why Chilean Cabernet is so good.
Right. The warm days and cool nights help the grapes ripen perfectly, so you get these intense fruit flavors and well-structured tannins.
Makes sense. But I'm also a big fan of white wines.
Oh, of course. Well, if you're looking for crisp whites, you gotta head south to the Casablanca Valley.
Casablanca. Now that name rings a bell.
It's all about Sauvignon Blanc there.
Ah, that's right.
The cool coastal climate is perfect for that grape. You get these wines with that zesty acidity, citrus notes, and even a hint of minerality.
Sounds delicious.
It is.
Okay, so we've got Aconcagua for reds, Casablanca for whites. What other regions should we know about?
Well, a little further south from Casablanca, you'll find the San Antonio Valley.
San Antonio.
That's another cool climate region, but they're known for making some fantastic Pinot Noir and Chardonnay.
Pinot Noir. That's a notoriously difficult grape to grow.
It is. But the San Antonio Valley has this unique microclimate with those cool, foggy mornings rolling in from the Pacific.
Oh, wow. So the fog actually helps.
Yeah, it keeps the temperatures moderate, which allows those delicate Pinot Noir grapes to ripen slowly and develop those complex flavors.
It's amazing how these little environmental details can make such a big difference.
Right. It's all part of the terroir.
Okay, so that's three regions down, but we've been focusing a lot on the coast.
Right.
What about inland areas?
Well, one of the most important inland regions is the Maipo Valley. It's south of Santiago, and it's considered one of the oldest and most prestigious wine regions in Chile.
Maipo. I've definitely heard that name before.
Yeah, it's a classic.
So what makes it different from the coastal regions?
Well, the Maipo Valley has a more moderate climate. Warmer days, cooler nights, and the soil is really rich and fertile, perfect for growing grapes.
Sounds ideal. What kind of wines do they make there?
Well, Cabernet Sauvignon is king in the Maipo Valley, but they also produce some excellent Merlot, Syrah, and Carmenere.
Carmenere. I'm not familiar with that one.
Yeah, it's got a really interesting story. It's a red grape that was almost wiped out by phylloxera in France.
Oh, wow. Another phylloxera tale.
Right, but somehow it ended up in Chile, probably mixed in with some Merlot vines.
So they didn't even know they had
No,
one.
they thought it was Merlot for years, but then in the 1990s, DNA testing revealed its true identity.
What a discovery.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And now Carmenere is considered Chile's signature grape.
Wow, so Chile accidentally became a refuge for this lost grape variety.
Exactly. And it thrives in the Maipo Valley, producing these rich, dark-fruited wines with herbal notes and a really smooth texture.
That's so cool. I love how there's always a story behind every wine.
Yeah, it's one of the things that makes wine so fascinating.
All right, well, I think we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
I've talked about the Andes, the Pacific, and all these amazing wine regions. But I'm ready to dive even deeper into Chilean winemaking history. So let's take a quick break and come back for part three.
Sounds good.
Okay, so we're back and ready to uncork some more Chilean wine knowledge. Last time we were talking about all those amazing wine regions like Aconcagua and Casablanca and Maipo. I'm really starting to get a sense of just how diverse Chile is as a wine country.
Oh yeah, it's incredible. And we've only just scratched the surface.
Right, and I'm eager to learn more about like the human side of it all. Like, what were the key moments that really shaped Chilean winemaking, beyond just the geography?
Well, I think we have to go back to that phylloxera crisis again.
Oh yeah, that was a huge turning point.
It was. It forced Chilean winemakers to really innovate and adopt new techniques.
Like grafting.
Exactly. And that focus on quality and innovation has continued ever since.
Okay, so what other innovations were there?
Well, one big one was the introduction of stainless steel fermentation tanks.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
It gave winemakers much more control over the process, so they could produce cleaner, more fruit-forward wines.
So it was like a technological leap forward.
Exactly. And then there was also a growing understanding of terroir. Winemakers started to really focus on matching the right grape varieties to the right locations.
So it became more scientific.
In a way,
That's
yeah.
so cool. So all of these things combined really helped to elevate Chilean wine.
They did. And now Chilean wines are recognized all over the world for their quality.
That's amazing.
It is. And they're also becoming known for their sustainability.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah, a lot of Chilean winemakers are really committed to organic and biodynamic practices.
Which is awesome. Okay, so as we wrap up our deep dive into Chilean wine, what are the main things our listeners should take away?
Well, first of all, Chilean wines offer amazing value.
Yes.
They're high quality, but they're also affordable.
I like the sound of that.
And secondly, don't be afraid to explore different varieties.
Well, beyond the usual suspects.
Exactly.
Right.
There's so much to discover, like Carmenere
Yes, Carmenere.
and Pei.
Oh, definitely pay.
So many interesting wines to try.
Absolutely.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground today. We've talked about history, terroir, great varieties,
Yeah.
and the people who make it all happen.
Yeah, it's been a great deep dive.
It really has. So to our listeners out there, I encourage you to go out and try some Chilean wine. You won't be disappointed.
Cheers to that.
Cheers,
Yeah.
mate.